True and false round. True or false, Canadian governments have created a localized government have created a campaign for the US to be the 51st state. Marina,
True.
you think it's true? The localized Canadian government are doing a campaign to get them to join.
I
Okay.
think it's beautifully petty, and I hope it's true.
I'm gonna go false just in case Marina's wrong. One of us has got to be
That's
right.
the spirit.
Hedging me bets.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Feel
Yeah.
the love. It's false. It's just a
Ah,
satire campaign. I'm sorry,
gutted.
Marina. I know. True or false? Elon's son, who was in the Oval Office, in the many things that he said, he swore at Trump. True or false, Graham?
True. True. He told
Marina?
him to shut the F up.
True. I mean, we've all wanted to say
We've all wanted to say it. And it turns out it's true. It's a 4-year-old that does the task for us.
Yeah.
Unelected bureaucrats. Question number three. Young US women, 55% of them will not date the opposite party. So if they're Democrat, they won't date Republican and vice versa. Marina, true or
True. True.
is it, what'd
Why
you
do
say,
you think it's true?
50,
I think it's
57%?
true, and I think it'd be mostly led by Democrat women going, fuck you, Republican men.
Graham?
Did you say 57%?
55. Say they
55.
will not
I
date
would
the
have thought it'd
opposite.
be more than that, but
Yeah.
yeah, I'm going with that. Yeah, fair enough. True.
It is true. Don't date the
Don't
opposite
blame
side.
them.
We always bring that up when you or Gemma come on.
Do you know what? My relationship, my choice.
Yeah.
Question four. There's a Brexit bonus for Valentine's Day. Roses are cheaper. True or false, Graham?
False.
How come?
Because I got some roses and they weren't cheap.
Oh, who's the lucky lady?
Oh, Catherine, my
Marina.
partner.
Fair enough. I'm gonna hedge bets and go true and
Yeah.
say, is it something to do with the fact that maybe delays in the supply chain mean that when they arrive, they're in really shit quality and that they are then have to be lower price?
Congratulations.
Oh,
It's
wow.
actually, yeah, it's false. There is no
So they
Brexit
last,
bonus.
they don't
Bullshit.
last as long.
Oh. No,
No.
you were right, Graham. I was talking shit.
My
I
God.
know. It's joy, isn't it? Brexit
Brexit bonus.
just keeps on winning. Okay. Welcome everyone to the Sunday Roast. There's no introduction from me this week, but we do have a lovely co-host and a lovely guest. Graham, please can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Graham Hughes, the first person to visit every country in the world without flying, and I currently run the Politics Social channel here on YouTube. Check it out.
Marina, please can you
Oh,
introduce yourself?
that was a good one. Okay, I'm Marina Perkis. It's such a wanky term, but political commentator by sort of in my spare time, and then I work in tech full time. That's my full time gig. You'll probably know me from just ranting on social media about what was the Conservatives and now is basically just anyone. Labour, Trump, Musk. Seem to have got quite a bit of traction though. 500,000 odd followers, and I have a podcast called The Trawl. And if you ever need a bit of levity, because let's be honest, it's bleak out there, come and join us over at The Trawl. We're a community of 1 million, over 1 million listeners in the UK who basically just all look at the world and go,
Wow.
what the fuck?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
I
1
know.
million.
Over.
Holy shit. Influencer. Wow. How does that feel? I've got
If do you know what? It just misery loves company, Alex.
to
It's look, the only reason I think we are doing as well as we are is because people come to us. Like, there are so many great podcasts out there, like The Rest Is Politics and News Agents and whatever, and they're quite intense. And I think people come to us and we're like, how can I describe it? It's like the political friends you never had. It's like
Oh.
chatting with your friends about politics. We don't get into the deep diving and the real geopolitical nuances, but we just talk about it in a way that's more about feeling. And don't get me wrong, there's analysis there as well, but also lots of piss taking because you've got to laugh. You've got to
We
laugh at
have
what's
to.
going on.
Marina, along with the question about like dating someone with a different political background, would you have someone on the show? I mean, you famously took down Jacob Rees-Mogg, didn't you? Like, would you have someone like that on the show just so you could rip them apart?
So on the Trawl meets, we basically meet someone once a month. And we did, Graham, we had, and it didn't go well. We had on Dan Hodges. So Dan Hodges, the editor of the Mail on Sunday. This is the guy who was behind all those headlines. You know, it was Currygate for about 12 days running.
Yes.
He's also, oh my goodness, his anti-Palestine, like pro-genocide, let's be honest, stance is disgusting. And actually, what it ended up being was a real awful conversation, as in, like, it was just, he's very, he was like a slippery eel. He was, you know, quite obnoxious, actually. And we won't be doing that again. So we invite on people that we like
good.
We find interesting, like Gary Lineker, like Carol Waterman, like Gary's Economics, like basically really, really good, interesting people like that.
Good, good, good.
Are we heading to World War III then?
Yes.
But, you know, as it's Valentine's Day, I thought I'd start off with something fucking cheerful. But, I mean, we were trying to pick topics before we came on, and literally the night before Valentine's Day, an explosive drone slams into the casing around the Chernobyl reactor that almost blew up. And you're just, and then you've got, I don't know if anyone watched last night, but it was, I can't think of the BBC show pro, Question Time. On Question Time, they had the GB News presenter suggesting we should be seeking out peace when you've got a lunatic like that dropping bombs. And then he's whacked British people on British soil and dumped chemical weapons. And we've got Brits advocating for peace. That.
Appeasement.
Well, I mean, I've made the analogy in two videos this week. Just on the appeasement. Go on, Graham.
Yeah. No, we're never going to have peace with Putin. We are in, you know, in 1938, where basically you got a Neville Chamberlain in Donald Trump, basically waving a piece of paper saying peace in our times. We let Hitler have Czechoslovakia and the Sudetenland and thought, oh, he'll stop then. He'll go, oh, that's enough for me. And we know that Putin has territorial ambitions over Moldova. We know that he would love to take back a portion of the Baltic states, the Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. He'll take the Russian-speaking parts, which is ridiculous. It's like Britain invading Canada because people speak English there. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it makes no sense. But you have to stand up to bullies. You have to stand up to them. And appeasing them has never worked in history. And it's not going to start working now.
Yeah.
Sort of how you deal with a psychopath, Marina?
I don't think you can. And this is why when people say, well, you know, actually, in fact, Richard Tice being schooled by Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk TV. I never thought I'd be on the side of Julia, but she absolutely nailed him because he was quite sympathetic, I think. He sounded very much like a Putin apologist saying, well, you know, we need to find peace. This can't carry on. And it's a great clip if you can go and seek it out. She basically said, well, how much of Britain would you give away? You know, and he's like, well, they've been fighting for a long time. So how long would it take before you gave up? You know, it really pushed him on it. But I think what we have seen in history is that when you're coming from the angle that Putin is, there is no negotiating. Like it's like when people had to fight for their rights, whether it's women or, you know, for civil liberties, you're trying to get them from people who do not want a middle ground. So there has to be a very strong position. And sometimes, you know, civil disobedience, unrest, whatever, rebellion, you just can't negotiate with these people.
You made me think of that Churchill movie where he does the quote, when will the lesson be learned? When will you learn that dictators can't be wooed and you cannot negotiate with a tiger when your head is in its mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've never actually checked to verify if he actually said that, but that was so poignant.
Gary Oldman said it in the movie, so that'll do.
That'll do, yeah. Gary Oldman, we'll just attribute it to Gary Oldman.
As Gary Oldman famously said.
I'll take it. It's a great point.
It's a great line.
Gary, Winston, whatever. Same, same.
So it makes you then go, why? It's really weird, because from a historian's perspective, it's always seemed to be in the modern era that the right wing are the ones that are always up for the fight and willing not to negotiate and willing to send the troops in. And our right wing, I mean, you mentioned Richard Tice. Julia Brewer, I was gobsmacked that she came from that position. But that's like traditional...
Yeah, it's also Richard Tice. How many times have you heard the word sovereignty fall out of that twat's mouth, right? Sovereignty.
Yep.
He is. It's like it's the most important thing to him. It was the same for all of the Brexit lot, right? And yet they are now trying to protect or side with or sympathise with someone who is literally going to another country, invaded another sovereign country, and killed their people and wants to claim their territory. And he's going, well, maybe, you know, well, like it's the backbending mental gymnastics. I don't know how these people make it through the day.
But they do. And they do it well, and they keep on growing, and you keep dealing with people in the street. I went to the farmers' protest, and I still had people there going. They Reform had embedded people in there that weren't invited. It was quite interesting. Farage wasn't invited to come on stage, and he had to come in through the side, and then he barricaded himself into the Red Lion because people really hate him. It, like, farmers aren't stupid. They can see the damage of Brexit, and yet that people are still gravitating towards them, even though they're weak. They're snowflakes, as that young man once called Nigel Farage. They don't, they're not up for the fight, and they seem to not understand. There's this sort of, there was a Tory MP that did it as well last week. They seem not to understand that if you go and allow him to do that in Ukraine, he'll probably go and start taking lumps out of other countries, and it's eventually us. It almost reminds me of that Martin Niemöller quote from Nazi Germany. Go on, Marina, I can see you want to jump in.
You know, there's so many things that I've got, so honestly, I'm having a right week of it at the moment. I'm finding it really difficult, but I'm trying to get inside the head of why people think the way they do. And I think it's, there are some people, and you know, some of them in my own friendship group, all they care about is their immediate. It's my immediate, it's my friendship group, it's my family. I just don't give a shit. I haven't got the compassion, I haven't got the emotional bandwidth, whatever. They don't care. And so it's a not them problem. In fact, I posted something on Twitter and it got like over 50,000 likes. It was basically like, you know, actually, talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to find it and then I'm going to read it out. It's really strong.
Go on, Graham.
I understand this. I mean, the it is a lot. And there's people who are writing on my channel saying, like, I can't, you know, I'm going to have to take a bit of a pause from this. And this is what the Trump agenda is. It's shock and awe. It's to put people into a state of such terror that they've, you know, there's so many things to talk about. 200 executive orders. Sorry, 2,000? How many? It was 200.
In the hundreds.
Yeah. Executive orders coming out in the space of a few weeks. One thing, then the next thing. It was plastic straws this week, because they're really important. Transgender people not using the right, using the correct toilet. That was really important. But like, that's also along with getting rid of US aid, which is actively killing babies now across developing nations. When the medicine is sitting there in a warehouse a couple of miles away from the hospital, they can't get into the warehouse. It's been shuttered because USAID's been taken away by Elon Musk. The richest man in the world has literally slapped food out of the mouths of starving orphans all over the world. And when you look at it that way, you're like, oh my God. And I can see why people withdraw. I can see why people go, this is too much.
Graham, I saw one lady, she was a Brit. She wrote, I would love to see what Elon Musk would do with our NHS. I bet he'd fix it in months. And oh my God, even just that makes me, it literally makes me want to vomit a little bit. A part of me is jealous. I'm a bit jealous of her, Jen, or whatever her name is. I'm jealous of the naivety. I'm jealous of the trust, the ignorance. One person said, because I tweeted about, you know, Elon Musk being in the Oval Office with his son, his toddler on his shoulders, and said, can you imagine the shit a woman would get if she brought her toddler on her shoulders into the Oval Office? I'm not even going to get into the power play here and how basically what that made Trump look like. The fact that it was Elon Musk in there, not wearing, you know, suit as he should be, wearing a cap, standing above the president and doing more of the talking, right? But imagine if that, and wearing a baseball cap, imagine if that had been a woman. Like, that would have been just, I mean, it would have been all of the trolling, all of the, that's not professional. But one person actually said, well, Elon's in there, he's doing it for free.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
And this is what I mean. This
he's
is
just got a. He's got two. He just. They just are. I think they've just put an order for fucking Tesla armored cars.
Vehicles. Yeah.
But he's gone into the record. He's gone into the financial records of millions of Americans at the Treasury Department, and they've stolen all the records. It's like it's the biggest data heist in human history. Okay. And he's got data about people's social security, Medicaid, Medicare, Veterans Affairs, VA stuff in America. So all these soldiers who fought against the Nazis that were still alive, just about. They weren't all wiped out by COVID, although, you know, the right wing tried to wipe them all out during COVID. And the few people alive to warn us about what's happening right now, they're going, oh, we're going to take away your measly pension, your measly war pension, because the richest man in the world decrees it.
Because also he's just not satisfied. Graham, like, can you imagine, like, how all kinds of broken that you have got to be, that you are worth over $400 billion and you still can't find peace of that. You still need more, even if that means, like you said, taking money out of the mouths of sick children. We've got women dying in childbirth now. We have got food aid. We've got like grains, like just will go to waste. We've got children that will now die of diarrhea. Yep. All of this preventable, but because this rich man cannot be satiated, we just have to all let it happen.
Do you know, that makes me just continue to think that they keep doing these things and they can't see the bigger picture. And the reason I say that is China's just going to be going,
I know,
we're going to put the aid in.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to like us, which is one of their ultimate goals. That's why they always stick on the Olympics. That's why they're working on football, because eventually I think they want a team that will win it. And they're just going, okay, we'll step into the gap. We'll provide the aid. We'll get the kudos. And then we'll get the contracts. And
precisely.
Maybe, and it's so naive.
Not just that, Alex. Even their stance on Gaza, the Chinese came out and actually said that Trump's stance, his whole position of, I'm just going to take Gaza, I'm going to own it, I'm going to make it the Riviera of the Middle East. China even come out and said that is unacceptable. North Korea came out and decried it as well. So we're already going to see that this influence, US is going to lose its global influence, which has always tried to uphold. China's going to swoop in. It's already starting. And lo and behold, that's exactly what Russia and China wants.
I think America deserves to lose its influence. And one of the good things that might come out of all this is that Europe emerges stronger and more united politically, militarily, and think about the trade that we could do. We don't need America to make our freaking movies. Why is it every time we go, oh, we've got a great idea for a movie, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, James Bond. We go, oh, we could make it ourselves, I suppose. And we probably will film it here with British actors and a British director. But I know, let's go to America to get the money to make it. And I'm like, why? Why do we keep doing this? We've got rich people here. Fund the British film industry. Let's make our own freaking movies for once. Jesus, I don't need more depressing kitchen sink dramas. No more wants to see that shit.
A really funny tweet. It was something like, only in movies does America save the world. In real life, it's the world that has to save America.
That's very true. That's very true. But Marina, we talked on our channel about quiet quitting America. Just when you have the choice between Starbucks and Cafe Nero, go to Cafe Nero. It's a British company rather than going to the American company. We're obviously going out on YouTube here, so that's an American company. It's owned by Google. But so it's not something that we can do with absolutely everything, but I don't think it has to be everything. I just think it has to be enough for a few CEOs in America to see their profits just not go up for a quarter, you know, maybe go down by 0.01%, and they will freak the fuck out because that's
I've got to give us a bit of credit with our infiltration skills in terms of actors, because boy, do our English actors take American roles.
I know.
It's fucking hilarious.
I think sort of 90% of like lead roles that are American characters are actually played by Brits.
Really?
Yeah.
It must be something like that.
There was a show called The Americans in which it was like a Russian agent pretends to be American, but they're actually Welsh. And the guy from Walking Dead who plays the Southern cop, he's the guy from Notting Actually or whatever it's called.
Love Actually.
Love Actually, that's the one.
Notting Actually. That sounds great.
Jay Paul, British guy. No, but we're good at doing accents because there's so many different accents around the UK.
Also, because we grew up on a diet of US stuff. I grew up watching things like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Cheers and Roseanne, you know, so you grew up with an American accent. I did.
Yeah.
Are we about to hear your American accent? Are we going to get exclusive?
No, after a few wines, I can do my New York accent.
Really?
From watching My Cousin Vinny. Yeah, it's awful. Though. It's just how I like to do it.
Well, that's such a good movie with Joe Pesci as well.
Yeah.
I can do a good Southern drawl accent. That's the most you're going to get. It'll be over wines, not public consumption.
Not going out on the internet to be replayed again and again.
you realize I now need to do a promo, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're a member, you'll be able to see this exclusive footage.
One of the things that I've sort of noticed this week is it's been going on for some time, but just the knots, I think Marina sort of talked about this a little bit with Richard Tice, but the knots that these people on the right are tying themselves in, trying to justify what Trump is doing, even though it goes against everything they're supposed to stand for, like sovereignty, etc. And with Gaza saying he's going to turn it into a Riviera, he's going to have casinos, going to have, you know, titty bars, girls dancing on the bar, drinking beer. I'm like, oh my God. And like, what's been a bit weird is it's first of all the people on the right defending this shit, but also I haven't seen too much in the way of protests. Where's all the protest, Alex? Where is everyone? Where is everyone?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? And it, so to loop that actually back to what you were saying with Tice, when he got his tongue, like he got destroyed by Julia Hart Brewer. I keep wanting to call her
Hartley.
Heartless Brewer.
Is it Heartless?
Heartless.
Hartley. Yeah. Julia Hartley Brewer. He kept repeating the Trump line, which is somewhat powerful and somewhat weird, which is, I just want peace and I don't want anyone dying. And it's like, okay, that's a good aspiration, but how do you enforce that? Yeah. And what does that mean? And what do you do when someone invades? And that's all I'm getting from the right. They just listen to Trump and they go, well, it works in America, so we'll try it in the UK. And I actually think there's something really nice about that, that's actually cheered me up this week, despite almost having the world blown up again. I think if Farage goes, that's the end of reform. I think if Trump and Musk go, that's the end of... I mean, the Trump... Yeah, I think that's it. I don't see Tice. He keeps doing that. He keeps going out on TV and he'll make an absolute hash of it. And then Farage seems to swoop in to come and fix the problem that Tice has created. Remember when he did it with Jennifer Cassidy, Dr. Cassidy, where he started comparing Northern Ireland with Smarties?
What?
God.
They're not sending their best.
Mehdi was interviewing at the Oxford Union and Dr. Cassidy was there. And Mehdi went... Dr. Cassidy, what do you think of the situation in Northern Ireland as a social situation? And he started banging on about trade and comparing it to a packet of Smarties, saying if you had a packet of Smarties, the amount of trade over that border is one Smartie. And Mehdi had to then point out, what are you talking about? We're talking about the social implications of Brexit. God.
I dread to think how much that man's education cost.
Oh, that's such a point, isn't it? How much has he spent? How is he head of a party?
He's a PSM hire. He's a private school mafia hire.
It's also not a political party. It's just a business like any other business. Self-appointed.
So I think with Gaza, I mean, yeah, there should be protests going on.
But don't forget, there have been. There have been protests. There have been protests every week since the beginning of this, genocide. Right, there have been. I've got friends of mine that bring their kids and they go week after week after week. You know, we saw what happened in America. We saw what happened in America with all the student protests. I don't know if you see now that one of the executive orders, I believe it was an executive order, is that if you were participating in those student protests and you are an immigrant, they're looking to deport you. They're actually seeking out specifically people who participated in that protest, and I think Hamas called them, sorry, Trump called them Hamas sympathizers, was it?
Yeah,
just for people protesting against genocide.
That's wild.
Mm.
Yep.
But then we are dealing with wild times. I keep being asked by people, because I'm a historian, are we heading in the direction of World War III? And I can only go, there are a lot of signs. I'm not sure what the trigger is, though. Because Israel's been given a blank check. World War One, in part, was caused by a blank check being given to Austria-Hungary by Germany. You've got appeasement, which we talked about at the beginning of this. I mean, the only big difference is the fact there are nuclear weapons. Mm. I think there's just such a big deterrent. It just stops people wanting to go that extra step. Do you know what I mean? That's why he's picked Ukraine.
Oh, do you know what? Honestly, Alex, I don't know. This is where... Jenny, being totally transparent, I had to take 3 days away from social media. Like, I know we have a laugh about stuff and we take the piss, but if you are as invested as we are, and I'm imagining your viewers are, it's hard. It is hard to sort of just sometimes enjoy the small things when you know what's going on. I'm really having to try and just focus on my immediate at the moment, because it's too much. There is such a thing, and it is called activism burnout. And I feel like a dick saying that, because what do? I just go on TV and I tweet and stuff. But I think we all feel this because, and by the way, I found that tweet, and it was posted by Occupy Democrats. And it says, a conservative says it hasn't happened to me, so I don't care. A liberal says it should never happen to anyone, and that's why I care.
Yeah. So where does that put Julia Hartley Brewer? there's a conundrum.
There's a nuance, a bit of nuance there.
I think that we are heading to, you know, this isn't great. Well, obviously, no one thinks that it is except for the Trump fans, the Tices of the world. But something better might come out of this. You know, sometimes, you know, in the course of history, there's always going to be a pushback against any kind of movement. And we've had this liberalizing and betterment of our lives, our quality of life, for decades. And this is the pushback against it. There's so many people who don't realize, and this is white privilege here, white middle age, middle class, white privilege. You know, we don't realize how lucky we are. Like, honestly, like the fact that we're born in this country, there are opportunities here. We're not living hand to mouth. Like, and I think it's a natural response to that to go, oh, wow, I don't want anyone to have to live in a bad way. But in the same way that people didn't appreciate what it was like to travel around anywhere but Europe, because they'd only really traveled around Europe. And now suddenly we're a third country. So we're having to queue up to get into the country, and we're having to get a visa, and we're having to get work permits to work there. That's normal. That's what the rest of the world's like. But we were just lulled into this false sense of security. And I thought there was a really great line. It might have been James O'Brien who said it or something, but they were talking about you can't stop fighting. You've got to keep, you can't just go, oh, you get to a point where, hey, we've won gay rights now. We've got gay marriage. No, you're still going to get transphobes out there. You're still going to get lunatics making out that, you know, gay people have got something to do with paedophiles, which is what happened on GB News this week. So please complain to GB News about the fact that they equated gay people to paedophiles. Yeah.
There's been a whole heap of Ofcom complaints, right? Not Ofsted.
Well, it was someone who went to a private school who did that, so that should go to Ofsted. Oh no, actually, private schools don't have to be inspected by Ofsted, do they?
No, they do not.
Or follow the national curriculum, or have teachers who are qualified. Nope. Just be your mate down the pub.
You're looking
just be
shocked,
your
Marina.
Teammate from down the
pub. I didn't know that. Every day's a school day. They don't have Ofsted at private schools.
You don't have to. They can choose whether they want to. In the new Labour bill that they're bringing in, Labour Party bill, not the new work bill, they're actually trying to stop this, and the Tories are kicking off about it. In fact, Kemi Badenoch in Prime Minister's Questions a couple of weeks ago, she was like, you want to stop Olympic-winning athletes from teaching in our top schools? And it's like, well, if they don't have a PGCE, yeah? What? And this is a child safeguarding thing. It's like...
The things they're arguing in PMQs... So yesterday, and I'm absolutely, no, this is horrifying. You're going to stop laughing. This is horrifying,
oh,
right?
Okay.
So Kemi Badenoch has got a Keir Starmer because one Palestinian family came through to the UK after their house was destroyed. One family got through on the Ukraine visa scheme somehow. Was it Homes for Ukraine or whatever it is? And Kemi Badenoch threw this at Keir Starmer to basically say, you know, you're being weak on immigration. And rather than go, fuck off, Kemi, like, just also, there, you know, one, you're not in a position to talk about this, given the figures under your party. And two, it's a Palestinian family looking for refuge after their house was bombed. And they came in under the right to a family life right from the ECHR. Instead, you know what he said? He came back and said that he would work to close down that loophole.
Yeah, it's going to change the law. Well, I think the law should be opened up.
So just can we just for a second, between friends here, say, okay, what is the difference? We have got Ukrainians, we're going, come here, in you come. Yep. You are welcome. You've had your place, your homes bombed. Palestinians, you absolutely not. How did you get through? What is the word there I'm looking for?
Melanin.
Yeah, that's exactly
it.
Pretty
much it, isn't it?
Racism.
There's no arguing.
It's pure racism. That's all it is. We should have safe routes for everyone. Anyone who wants to apply to come to the UK as an asylum seeker should be able to from wherever they are in the world. That's the situation we have for people from Hong Kong, for people from Ukraine, the situation that's supposed to be there for people from Afghanistan, but it's not. And that should be the system. In the same way that anyone can apply, you know, anyone from anywhere in the world can apply for a visa to come and work here. You know, it's not like they have to get on a little rickety boat or a inflatable dinghy and get across the English Channel in the middle of winter in order to apply for a job here. Do you know what I mean? They don't have to. They can just apply. So why can't we have the same system for asylum seeking? And if
Especially,
we say no, we will have their records, we'll have their photographs, we'll have their fingerprints. We've already said no. We've already done the processing. You don't have to put you in a home for 6 months to, you know, do it. Sorry, Marie.
Especially when it is our country that has been sending weapons to Israel to bomb the shit out of their country.
I
Well,
could
not
take
just
it
that.
even
Sorry.
further and
Yeah.
go, sorry, Graham.
I was going to say a lot of the problems in the world that exist at the moment exist because the British went around the world causing problems everywhere, setting things up to fail for the future.
We could, yes, that I'd agree with that. There's a lot of problems. I mean,
Israel included.
we were one of the biggest drug dealers in history, which no one talks about. I think as well that's even affected our mentality. That's why when you listen to a lot of people from abroad talking about our business practices, we're very transactional. And there's an argument to suggest that part of the reason for that was that was the only way to process the stuff that we were doing, whether that was genocide, wiping out
Yeah.
nations, selling drugs, tobacco, for example. There were doctors in the fight when tobacco was discovered and, sorry, not discovered, but realized. I'm trying to use the right word because you can't say the word discovered. When Europeans found out about tobacco and started sending it back into Europe, there were doctors 500 years ago writing papers that said, this is dangerous, do not sell it, to which they ignored it. And you wonder about that mentality that we have in the UK. And when people say, oh, we're stiff upper lip and we're unemotional, as to how much that's actually because of the stuff that we did in the past that enabled us to become super rich, such as selling drugs.
Interesting. Very
It's a
interesting.
very, very interesting point
We
of view, and
had
it's a
to be
theory.
detached. We had to be detached. We had to be emotionally stunted to be able to basically carry out the atrocities that we did.
And the same is said about the Americans, who had to do the same level of atrocities
But
to
they're
take
not
over.
emotionally detached. They're all like in your face with their feelings. I've got, I love America. I'm not, I love America.
I
It's
love
like,
America. I love Americans. There are just a few million who've got serious issues.
I don't love
But
America. They say aluminium wrong.
aluminum, aluminum.
They say Van Gogh instead of Van Gogh. What's all
What?
that about? Van Gogh?
I say Van Gogh. Ooh.
It's Van
Oh
Gogh.
no.
It's got a GH at the end of it.
I didn't realize that. Can I just say something good to go
Go
back to
on.
an earlier point about sort of the despairing? And Graham, I know you said you had hope. And you're right, we are thinking like if you compare us to where we were now, like people aren't getting executed at, the Tower of London, like Lady Jane Grey. I think it was the anniversary yesterday. But we are in a position now which is unprecedented because this is oligarchy like we've never seen before. And we have got all of the things, all of the tools that you're using, we're using right now. We go to work on, we buy our products from, that we derive our entertainment from. Everything is now basically controlled by maybe what, five men. Five men who are all very much aligned with what is quite a right-wing president. And I think that's where it's scary because back in the days, even when Hitler was coming to power, of course there was a huge support for him, but the reach that these people have now via social media and all the other the newspapers and whatever, that's unprecedented. And I think the degree to which they're able to use their algorithms and whatever and that reach to actually just spread the disinformation that they are and manipulate people to the extent that they will vote against their own best interests, and we are seeing it more so now than ever. That is what I think is scary about this time around.
Can I
Because yes,
offer?
it's not we're not barbarians at the moment, but we're somewhere else.
We're definitely somewhere else. Can I offer a bit of hope within
Please.
that? Because we're obviously got this podcast. You've got a million listeners. That's not there's not much precedent for that in history. There's somewhat. You could go back to the original creation of the printing press and how like some towns used to have like 17 newspapers in them. And then that obviously wound down, and over the 90s that got shrunk down. And I'm only talking about media influence. I was reading some stuff about Ford and his influence, and actually Henry Ford has a lot of similarities to Musk in terms of his reach. Like he had a newspaper that was available within all of his
And he was a
stations,
Nazi.
and he was a Nazi, and he got awards from Hitler. And I could tell you some shocking stories that we're not going to go into, but I think there's a tiny bit of hope in the fact that I think actually the progressive view is probably bigger than it's ever been before. It's just not big enough. And the right-wing media has a lot more cash to be able to invest and get their voice up. But, we've literally, I started off with a YouTube channel. I've had no funding from anyone. Graham, I think you're the self. Marina, I would assume
Same,
it's the
same.
same. And look how much we've grown without any help. But if you tried this through, let's say, a newspaper in the 80s and 90s or in the 1900s, it would have been 1,000 times harder to be able to achieve what the three of us have done, which I find quite interesting. I'm not saying it's enough. But I am saying there's a bit more hope now
Step in
than
the
I
right
would have
direction.
said back then. And like, maybe I'm just a Mr. Positive, or maybe Valentine's
No,
Day has
I
fried
think
my
you're
brain
right.
today.
But we'll go back to something that we go on about all the time on the Politics Social channel is we need better comms. Labour need better comms. The Greens need better comms. There was a great chat with Lewis Goodall from the news agents, and he was they were being asked like why they didn't cover the Greens as much as they covered ReFuck, and he said, well, because ReFuck are doing stuff. They're in the news. Like, what have the Greens done? You know, they want us to read a report. I was
Can
going
I
to
make a
talk about that.
suggestion? I tell you what we need, right? Because it doesn't exist at the moment, sadly. With Lib Dems, it doesn't exist with the Greens, doesn't exist with Labour. One, Labour are not delivering, I think, for the majority of people who maybe lent their support to Labour, feel completely let down by them. But the other thing is, I genuinely think we need a populist left party.
Yes.
We need personalities. We need people that are not going to speak to people like they are above them. We need people on a level. We need the Nigel Farage of the left. I hate
Yes.
to say it, but we need it.
Yep.
I'm not saying we
I
can't
agree.
have. I'm not saying we can't have all the other, like, the intellects and whatever. But we need people who speak to people on a level. And I say that after having a conversation with an extended family member that sent me spiraling, because this person said, and they are the son of very liberal, progressive, informed parents, and we were talking about Trump, and he said, yeah, but he just says it how it is. And I just thought, I know, my heart broke. And I just thought, oh my God, I had head in hands. And I just thought, this, he's speaking to them. And the one thing he could say to me, because he's not buried in the news, he doesn't know about the executive orders and US aid, he doesn't know any of that. But you know what he does know? He knows that Trump has banned trans women from playing in women's
all 10 of them, all 10 of them out
all
of half
10,
a million,
all 10. 10 of them, 10, 10 people. And he knows that. And he was like, well, that pissed me off, so I'm glad he's done that. And I was like, sorry, what? And I just think we need someone who is going to be clever enough. We need a party that's going to be clever enough to give something quick and meaningful and low-hanging fruit to the people who just need to feel it, see it instantly.
I agree. I think the problem is that the crossover of people who have got riz, you know, charismatic.
So it is, riz.
Yeah, I think the crossover with them and politics is not a big catchment area. Because politics tends to, and I'm sorry to offend anyone who's watching this, I study politics at uni, and obviously I have a politics channel called Politics Social, so I'm saying this, you know, on behalf of me and everyone else. We're a bit weird. We're a little bit odd compared with other people who aren't that interested in politics, or at least they see us as being a bit odd. And the politicians I've ever met, I mean, I've met lots of nice politicians, but I wouldn't necessarily want them coming to my birthday party. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Keir Starmer.
Yeah. Oh, he's a laugh. This is the thing. Marina's right. We need someone who can have that thing of like, oh, I'll go for a drink with them.
It's like Boris Johnson. It's the Boris Johnson appeal. They're like, they'd have a chat with him. They think he's funny. Like, it's the same with Trump. They think he's entertaining. Like, we've entered an era now where people just want to be entertained. It's like, oh, that's funny. Oh, he's funny. I'll put him in pay. You know, he'll fuck things up a bit, especially when people have been disenfranchised. You saw that poll that came out. I know it was a misleading poll, but that poll basically said there was a whole next gen sort of younger generation that were polled who said they would be in favour of a dictator. And I think it's because they're so disenfranchised that they're just like, yeah, change without reach, just something different without knowing what it means.
Well, one of the things that caused World War II in... Yeah, World War II.
Back to war.
back to war. But it was the economic downturn that took place. Mm-hmm. You had two recessions. You had one immediately after World War I, and then you had the Wall Street crash, and then you had one just before Hitler came into power. So you had this extended period of economic downturn. Mm. When the second point turned up, that's when people really went authoritarian. And we've had something similar that's never been really fixed or addressed. So you had the 2008 crash, which from what I can tell is basically the banks lied about mortgages and issued mortgages to anyone that would take instead of doing checks, deregulation. And that crashed the economy. Then for the UK, you had Brexit, which damaged the economy. But again, no one really wants to talk about that in the main political parties. And then after that, you've got the war in Ukraine, which damaged the global economy, and Trump's tariffs.
Which are so you look damage at
all those
downturns,
and you're just like, I don't even really feel that. Oh, and COVID, of course, because that meant there were less products because manufacturing shut down, and they printed a ton of money, which is exactly what happened in the build-up to World War II.
The billionaires did quite well
after World War One.
The billionaires did quite well out of COVID, though, didn't they, Alex?
Who?
The billionaires. The billionaires made loads of money.
They did well. It's interesting you say that, because they did well after World War One. Because when you have that amount, when you have that hyperinflation, which is arguably what we have, you can pay off your debts for fuck all.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. So if you actually had capital and you had land or, you know, resources available to you, you could pay off that debt really easily. You know, there are talks about people having being paid. In Germany, this is because they had it exceptionally bad after World War One. They were carrying around wheelbarrows full of cash to pay bills, like, or buy food. That's insane. But if you've got that and you had a debt before that inflation, you're sorted. Your debt's gone. So as soon as the economy snaps back on, you're... And that's why I think there's a lot of similarities here. And it was the rich people in Germany, that a large number of rich people that backed Hitler.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the same thing with Trump. And they all know they got a cash discount, a tax discount after when Trump came in. And so that's why they've all ended up backing him, even though he's totally insane. I've got to ask Marina, did you, when you spoke to this extended relative of yours, did you press them at all as to why they thought Trump was congruent in what he was saying? Like, he talked it as it is. He says it as it is. Or did you leave it?
I didn't leave it. I tried to, like, what did I say to him? I was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? He just says it like it is. And what I'm taking from that is his messaging is simple, right? If we look at Keir Starmer, for example, as a comparison, Keir Starmer and other politicians talk in the abstract. They talk about growth. They talk about GDP. They talk about blah, 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 like long-term visions and strategies and all this shit that people don't understand. Like, they don't understand the final impact or how it's not of interest to them. Trump speaks with sound bites that will be personally relevant to you or will personally impact your life. Cheaper eggs. There you go. Yeah. Cheaper gas. Plastic straws.
Yeah.
Really, it's very, very simple. Also, Nigel Farage, very good at this as well, focuses on like five things, like reform had a 5-point plan, very clear. All of those things, they weren't big visions. They were tactical. It was about lowering the tax threshold. It was stop the boats. And I'm really sorry, but we are dumbed down. The majority of people do not have the time to invest themselves into politics. We need to make it as simple as possible. It needs to be the let's guide to politics. Yep. And the manifesto of the new left-wing party, if there was going to be one, needs to be that bloody simple. Yep. Five things that's going to impact you, Graham, you at home, you, Bob and Bolton, you. How are you going to feel? Like, growth, GDP, don't give a fuck. Doesn't, if you wanted to borrow, like the US government are going to spend $4 trillion more dollars, right? They don't care. Even though it's going to send debt spiraling, they don't care. Just as long as there is something that impacts me, my pocket,
cheaper
my
food.
Little life.
Yeah, cheaper food. Yeah, I mean, that's the Brexit slogan.
It would be, it'd be good if we could infiltrate Labour and take them over and make them do this ourselves. I mean, they're not delivering. And one of the things that I often talk about as well on the channel is the fact that most people aren't into politics, right? Not just that the people who are really, really into politics are a little bit of the outlier. But in the last US election, it was 1% difference at the end of the day between Kamala Harris and Trump. If 1% of the population or 1% of the voters had voted the other way, Kamala Harris would have won it. And you think about, you have 100 people in a room, and they've all got to make a decision. And one of them, just one in 100 votes for the person whose name they've heard of, because they pay no attention to politics. They pay no attention to any of this stuff. It is just name recognition. And that's where people like Farage do really well, because people recognize his name. He's been in politics for over 20 years now. He's you know, obviously because of Brexit and everything else. People know his name, becomes a household name. And it's one of the reasons why when we talk about bringing in compulsory voting, I'm the dissenting voice in that, saying they have it in Australia. And if 1% of people vote for just the name that they've heard, they might end up voting for a Nazi or just someone who's not very good. So I'd rather people were informed who were voting. But I think you're right, Marina, making the messages as simple as possible. And you know, having 5 points, but one of them is free parking on a Sunday. Just something that is immediate. Now, one of the biggest mistakes I think Labour made in the last budget was putting up the price of bus fares. This affects people like me who get the bus into town. Mm. It's gone up by 50p or a quid for a round journey, right? And I'm seeing that every day now.
Yeah.
And everyone else who gets the bus is seeing it every time they get the bus. And that's a really obvious thing to me. Whereas a third runway at Heathrow, the investment in the steelworks in Port Talbot, I don't actually see that every day. You know, they can claim they're going to do stuff down the line, but that's not affecting me day to day. This has affected me already, and I've seen it, and it's irritated me. So, yeah, whoever's advising Labour at the moment needs to be put on a sabbatical, I think.
Agree.
It made me think of Nico Omelana there, where one of his campaign pledges was to make Freddo's 10p.
Yeah, just put something in there.
But also, look, from I work in marketing, right? From a PR standpoint, bang on. It's just going to be something that people can just like. You can create a whole social campaign out of it. It's fun. Yeah. It's funny. You might even get Freddo sponsoring you. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just a great idea for a bit of social traction or whatever it was that people want. You know. Well, we don't know. Labour doesn't have it. It's like it's just so stale. It's so fucking stale and boring. And the thing is, Labour are actually doing some good stuff, right, in the background. They're actually doing... Some of it is atrocious. Like, I think their lack of balls when it comes to actually taxing the uber wealthy is dispiriting as hell. But they are doing some good stuff, but it's not enough. It's not enough when you've got reform breathing down your neck, and it's not enough if people are not going to feel a material difference. Do you feel materially different to when the Conservatives were in power, right? I know I feel less angry. I'm less like, you know, there's not corruption on the front pages every day. But do we feel, do people we love, do the less well-off, do they feel materially better?
No.
No, they don't.
No.
Not even hopeful.
I'll give you a history stat, but I'll also say, I know all the fruit and veg guys on my street. There's about four or five of them. They're now telling me they're getting more loose change than they've ever had before. And they reckon that people are going behind their sofas to get cash out because they're so short of cash around there. And that's where the history stat comes in. French Revolution, you know, one of the biggest events in Western history to take place and sort of replant democracy in its own way, although it went back to dictatorship. The lowest third of people in the UK have 100 calories more than the poorest in the French Revolution.
Wow.
100 calories a day more. And you're like, that's not being addressed.
No.
Nothing seems to be syncing up. And I still then go back. I don't even think Labour see the bigger picture. Gary Stevenson keeps talking about it. How do you check the economy? You go out on the street and you just... I talked to I know Marina, I'll finish.
It's so good. I was about to say the same thing, but you carry on.
Am I on? Are we on the
Gary? Are we having a new Gary? Yes, we are. Inequality. Yeah, that's the word.
Yes. I mean, the inequality is skyrocketing. It's continued to grow and it's being left over from COVID. Gary keeps bringing it up. And you look at when he brings it up to them on those political shows, you just see this. It's like the question mark from Super Mario goes right on the top of their head. And they just don't seem to understand what he's saying, which is really fucking simple. You had less goods being made. And you printed a ton of money and you don't know where that money's gone. Why would you print that money and not register it? And then are you actually going out and asking people on the street, friends, family, how they're financially doing, especially if they're on a low wage? I don't believe they are.
They're not.
I even said that to, I won't name her name, but the MP I ran against. I said to her, you're going to come back in 2 years. We're not even in 2 years. We're what, 7 months? Yeah. And we're already seeing the effects of Labour not being able to do their task. I said 2 years. I was wrong, but I wasn't far off. Go on, Marina. What were you?
I was going to say Gary Stevenson, who's Gary's Economics, if you follow him on social, who's bloody brilliant to follow. He points out, you know, we keep being told the UK has got a productivity issue, which is bollocks, because if we had a productivity issue, the wealthy wouldn't keep getting more and more and more wealthy.
Yeah.
The fact is, we're all very productive. My productivity has actually gone up. Is yours, Alex Graham, like up?
Yeah.
I think we're working longer hours than ever before.
I am. Work every
day. We all are. So it's
I worked on Christmas Day.
But
I did.
and many did. But productivity is not the issue. Inequality is the issue. We are working longer and harder. There is a
Yeah.
ratio figure where it basically shows that the CEO earnings, what they used to be, it's like insane. It's grown by like 3,000% or something like that. Whereas employee earnings have grown by something like 18%, like that, over 40 years. Because it's all that money is just so concentrated at the top of the chain. You look at all the CEOs across all of our utility businesses and banks. I think I just saw the Lloyds CEO, his salary went from like 4 million to 10. I think it was Lloyds. Like,
Oh, that's
how can
nice.
you justify that? Oh, well, actually, I know how we can justify that. Because has the interest in your mortgage gone up if you've got one? Mine is.
Everyone's.
Like, what did the banks do? Did they
Property,
provide
I
a
mean.
better service? Did they provide a better service for that? No,
Well,
same, same.
this
Where's that
is.
windfall tax on the frigging banks? Maggie Thatcher did it, for fuck's sake.
And you've tapped into something there, the big lie, privatization. We have got one of the most privatized countries in the world, which has done really, really bad things to this country. There was a great episode of TLDR did this week about the fact that Britain is nearly bankrupt when it comes in terms of like, what does the government actually own anymore? Because we're one of the few countries that made water privatized. Now all rivers are all full of shit.
The only
And
country.
we've had an energy bill. Like, we don't have the heating on in this house during the day. The girls aren't here. And me and Kat, both work in the house, and we literally put a coat on and work because it's so expensive. There you
Peter.
go. It's so, it's it, like, we can't put the central heating on. It's too expensive to put the central heating on. And this is the result of privatization. This is the result of someone somewhere needing to make money at every step of the way. And it's ruined our country. It's absolutely ruined our country. And the other thing, tapping into that as well, and I think you mentioned about housing, about your mortgages going up. We used to have a system where if you went into a bank and you said to the bank manager, "Hey, listen, I've already got a home, but you know what? Can I have a mortgage so I can get another one? Put someone else in it and they can pay the mortgage." The bank manager say, "No, that's illegal, go away." And in the mid-90s, the Tory government did away with that, so you could get a buy-to-let mortgage. And that absolutely destroyed our housing system in this country, along with the fact that, up till 1979, 5 million houses were built. And since I've been alive, so 46 years at the end of the month, we've built what, 250,000 council houses have been built? It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And I think we need to just address that fact. We need to go, look, someone doesn't have to make money at every step of the journey, especially when the journey is a fucking cancer journey, or it's a child getting some fresh water that's not contaminated with shit.
And the unfortunate thing is, you've obviously got parties that are advocating that. That's what
Yeah.
deregulation is.
Yeah,
And then people are
deregulation
voting for
for the
it because
nation.
they
Yeah.
somehow think that they're going to
Of course.
win the lottery.
But how have they convinced, again, I go to Bob and Bolton, how have they convinced Bob and Bolton that deregulation is a good thing? It's genius. Absolutely
Great
genius.
comms, marketing, great comms.
Yeah.
We've got shit comms on the left. Labour, shit. Lib Dem, shit.
It's that with the it's Boris Johnson with the kipper. Do you remember the kipper with an ice cushion? Do you remember that? Deregulate. Oh God, I despair.
It gets
Yeah.
through to people.
I
Keep it
know.
simple. Keep it simple. Get through to people and do things that people see in everyday life,
Maybe we get like a Danny Dyer and he can be like our populist left person.
He'd do
What do you
well, wouldn't he?
reckon? I reckon so.
Problem
Do
is
you
a
think he'd be
lot.
tempted though, or do you think it'd be?
Do you know what? He expressed an interest in coming on the trawl. We've got to follow it up, but I would
Yeah, you
love
should do
it. Love it.
it. His comment about fucking great. His comment about what was it?
David
Where's
Cameron.
that twat, David
Dave.
Cameron,
With his trotters up
With
in the
his
south of
trotters
France.
up.
On that note, thank you very much to my guests. Marina, thank you very much to my co-host Graham. What a fantastic
Thanks, Alex.
episode. Please check the description to see their links and go and check out the troll. Go and check out Politics Social. And if you've enjoyed the video, which I assume you have by getting this far, hit that like and subscribe button. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
It's Valentine's Day. Love, marry, send to Mars.
Oh,
Marina,
God.
your three choices: Rishi Sunak, Nigel Farage, David Tennant.
Why did
Doctor
you
Who.
do
Oh,
this?
okay.
Love
I
David
would
Tennant, clearly.
love David Tennant. I would marry Rishi Sunak, and I would send Farage to Mars.
Because
So it's all
sometimes on
about
this we
money
go,
then.
oh no! Like, but yeah. Go on, which tragedies are you going to give me?
Rachel Riley.
Okay.
Donald Trump. Suella Braverman.
Okay. Okay. Oh my God. We can get divorced, right? This isn't a marriage for life. So
no,
Rachel Riley.
They say it's a marriage for life. Marina, you're stuck with seeing that forever.
No!
It's got David Tennant on the side.
I love Rachel Riley. I'll marry Braverman and then divorce her and take all her money. And and then Trump's got to go to Mars with Elon Musk on a big rocket ship, one-way trip to Mars.
Absolutely.
And then they'll find out how cold it is there and how there's no protection against the solar wind.
That's socialism, isn't that?
Slow, agonizing deaths.
Final thing. Twilight Zone sort of scenario for you. Marina, you're going to suffer Groundhog Day, but you've got to pick who you're going to have that Groundhog Day with.
Okay.
You're going to either co-host with Nigel Farage, and the more you argue, the more likely it is to reset the day, so you're back to where you started.
I've thought about this way too much.
This is like an episode of The Black Mirror.
Yes. Or Piers Morgan.
Piers. I would choose Piers.
You think you could handle that a bit better than...
Yeah, I think Frogman. I think I could, and also I think Frogman. I think he'd be. He looks like he just stinks of fags. So I just no.
Graham,
God,
all future holidays are going to involve either you with Suella Braverman at Butlins.
What's this obsession with Suella Braverman?
Or your holidays will have you in a road trip with Musk in a Tesla.
Well, given the fact that Teslas often malfunction and crash and burn up and are terrible cars, terrible Nazi cars, swastika cars even, I'll go on the road trip and I'll take Musk around West Africa, and he can see it, look into the eyes of all the babies that he's decided to condemn to death by being the most horrible man that's ever lived.
I honestly don't think you'd care, Graham. I don't know if you saw that review of when he went to the when Elon went to Auschwitz.
Yeah, he couldn't give a shit.
He just couldn't give a shit.